Okay, so the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Tanis tells us that on Shavasar B'Tammuz there were five tragedies that befell the Jewish people. Besides for the final one, which is the breaching of the walls, to the destruction of the walls of Yerushalayim, the Mishnah tells us that the Luchot were destroyed by Moshe when he came down, and the Jews were worshiping the Egel. The Tamid was the bringing of the Tamid of the daily offering ceased. The city was breached. Apostamus burnt a Torah, and it's not clear in the commentaries exactly what Torah this is, whether it meant he burnt all the Torahs he could find, and that was the tragedy, or he burnt specifically the Torah of Ezra, and he put a idol in the Heichal. Now, one could understand the Mishnah as simply telling us that there were these five tragedies on the 17th of Tammuz, and therefore it's not just a singular mourning, but it's a compounded mourning over the course of history. Similar to Tisha B'Av, where the Mishnah records that five things happened on Tisha B'Av, as well as tragedies throughout Jewish history beyond those recorded in the Mishnah. However, there are some who try to connect them and suggest that while they are multiple different tragedies, there is a common theme that help us understand what it is we are mourning on the 17th of Tammuz. So, for example, if you look in the Pnine Halacha of Elazar Melamud, he notes that while all of these things were tragedies, they were all the beginning of a tragedy, which, if things didn't change, they would get worse. And Shavasar B'Tammuz, while it was bad, was that stage in each of these historical moments where the Jews had a chance to turn things back. In some cases they did, in some cases they didn't. So when it comes to the breaking of the Luchot, while that's obviously a tragedy, Moshe used that to prevent the Jews from further descending into their worship of idolatry. And had he not done that, had he not stopped the Jews from worshiping the Egel by scaring them with that moment, so then it would have spiraled even more out of control, and he would not perhaps have been able to save the Jews from God's wrath. So there, while it's true it's a tragedy, the final tragedy, the one that God said he wanted, namely the destruction of the Jews, was actually held at bay by this act of that initial catastrophe, but it actually prevented the Jews from descending to more. On the other hand, the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim, again, had the Jews perhaps done tshuva that moment, they could have forestalled the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but they didn't. And as the Gemaras in Gittin tell, things only got worse as the enemies were entering into Yerushalayim, and therefore here we observe the fast, remembering that the tragedy actually got worse. Similarly, with the cessation of the Tamid. The Tamid, the notion that we had a daily offering in the Mikdash, which is the most basic form of devotion to God in the Mikdash. It's not the unique ones, it's the one that indicate that we have a constant commitment. At some point, when the Jews' commitment was lacking, so God made it that we weren't able to bring the Tamid, we weren't able to bring the daily offering. Had we realized that the reason that God was stopping it, as is mentioned in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and all the Nevi'im, was because God didn't want empty karbanot, didn't want karbanot that weren't backed with actual commitment to ethics, to Torah, and everything that means, then we could have forestalled the later tragedies and the burning of a Torah. Again, the Torah is meaningful, but the burning of the Torah is tragic, but it's more tragic if that leads to the cessation of Jewish life in general. Putting a Avodah Zarah in the Heichal is bad, but the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is closer to being irreversible. And therefore, Malamud says the common theme between all these five is they were the beginning of a tragedy, which, if the Jews, as they did in one case, did tshuva, they could forestall the impending greater catastrophe. If they didn't, then it was the beginning of a process that only spiraled out of control. There's a series on the website Aleph Beta where they suggest a slightly different approach, and this is something which has much support in the Nevi'im's description of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Nevi'im discussed that one of the reasons the Beit HaMikdash got destroyed was that the Jews thought that they could sin, they could rebel against God, but as long as they kept bringing Karbanot, God would never destroy His Beit HaMikdash. And the Nevi'im mock them. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. All you say all day is, it's the Beit HaMikdash, it's God's home. God's never going to destroy it, no matter what we do. Because there's a tendency to put our hope in objects which represent God without realizing that those objects are only meaningful if we're in fact committed to God. And if you look at the five tragedies that happened on Shavuot or B'Tammuz, all of them take place with these objects which we ascribe intrinsic kedusha to, intrinsic value to, and at some level that's true, but their true value only comes when you're committed to the values they represent. So again, the luchot, they were written by God, but they're only meaningful if you are committed to the words in them, not if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah as the Jews were with the Egel. The Torah is meaningful, but if you're not committed to the words in it, then it's essentially already burnt. The Beit HaMikdash is the home of God, but only if you act in such a way that God wants to come into your home. The Tamid is meaningful, right? The daily devotion to God is meaningful if in fact you're devoted to God. But if you're not, so then it's meaningless. And Yerushalayim is meaningful in the sense that it's God's center in this world if you're using it to be a light unto the nations, using it to be a paradigm of what it means to be godly, not if it is the seat of rebellion against God, of the opposite of what God wants. And therefore, they argue that in fact what we mourn on Shavuot or B'Tammuz was that at different periods in history, the Jews became obsessed with objects and forgot that what gives meaning to these objects is the values that we live and that they represent. And when each of them became hollowed out because we left the values that were identified with those objects and instead relied on the objects as if they were intrinsically holy, so in turn each of them had to be destroyed to remind us about what's truly valuable. And as we go into the 3 weeks taking the messages of Shavuot or B'Tammuz, hopefully we will be able to, God willing, not have to observe another Tisha B'Av, but having learned the lessons, Tisha B'Av will become a chag as it's supposed to when we finally learn our lesson and God grants us the final redemption.